Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and as you're turning there, the thing that we should ask ourselves every time we open Scripture, whether it be in a corporate worship setting like this, or in our small groups, or maybe even in our own Bible study time, what we should always ask ourselves when we open Scripture is, why is this here? Why is this text? Why is this story here? And as we ask ourselves concerning this passage in Luke chapter 5, as we ask, why is this here? We can ask, what would be lacking from the text if this was gone? Like, what if this story was not here? What would that do to the book of Luke, and why would it not be complete? Why did Jesus lead Luke by the power of the Holy Spirit? Why did the Holy Spirit lead Luke to write down these particular words? And what we're going to see this morning is just really one main idea, though we will talk other points, but the main idea is that Jesus cleanses us. And so if you found Luke chapter 5, if you would stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, it says, While Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And this is the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. So this morning we're going to see an event where Jesus healed a physical problem that a man had. But the story and the background and everything that he does for this man in a physical sense, he does for us in a spiritual sense. And so we're going to see this morning that Jesus cleanses us. We're going to see sort of how he does that and then what it means for us. You guys with me this morning? All right, number one, we have to see that Jesus receives us. Jesus receives us. And so verse 12 is going to say that while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Now, for the most part, leprosy really is not something that we have to worry about in the United States. Like there's just very few cases of leprosy. In fact, you'd have to go outside the United States to some third world countries to see where this is prevalent. So leprosy, we think we know what it is, and if you study it, you can kind of sort of get an idea. But leprosy was this skin condition, this skin disease, and it would usually start in one particular area of your body, and then it would sort of just progress, and as it went along the way, it would begin to damage and kill that living tissue, so you wouldn't feel damage, like if you were cut or bumped or bruised, you wouldn't really feel that in that particular area that you had leprosy until that leprosy would progress to an extent to where the nerves would be damaged, and then by that point it would be a very painful process. And it was a disease where your skin would be exposed, like there'd be these sores that would be exposed and just sort of ooze, and you can imagine what that might look like. And it would damage tissue and pull up your extremities to where your hands, it would look almost more like a fist. You wouldn't have the use of your fingers, and you would lose the use of some of your extremities. And this man did not just have leprosy. It says in verse 12 that he was full of leprosy. So you can imagine this man probably from head to toe with these open, exposed sores, probably very painful, and that wasn't even the worst part of it. You know, like we we hate to feel bad, but maybe even what was worse than this is that if you had leprosy, you were sort of forced from your home, not to a hospital where people would take care of you, but you were just sort of forced outside of town to these little leper colonies, so to speak, where the only contact you had with other people, with the outside world, was people who were just like you. If you were walking down the road outside of town and someone was journeying on the same path as they approached you, you by law were required to say, "Don't come any closer, I've got leprosy, I'm unclean." And this man, probably in a great deal of pain, was alone, had not been able to kiss his wife for probably years, had not been able to hug his children, and had no contact, no physical contact in an encouraging physical way. This man was full of it. What started small, maybe a spot on his skin, had encompassed his whole body in this painful process. You know, it's sort of, if you think of it, it's sort of like sin. Because sin for us starts out small. Maybe with just a thought. Maybe with this thought that we sort of dwell on, that we think about, and we think, well, how could I get pleasure by going through with this? Or it begins to consume our actions, and then all of a sudden we're caught full-blown in sin, and it encompasses us. Now, we've talked a whole lot about not letting anyone drown in sin, because we know that sin does not just affect me, but affects everyone around me. And so this paints a picture, what this man is going through, paints a picture of yours and my spiritual internal condition. That we're just not a little bit sinners, that we are full of it outside of Christ. In verse 12, he comes to the Lord and he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." See, this man, his only hope is Christ. Now, I can't help but think that some of us here are like this leper. That sin has consumed us, and we think of our past, and we think of our past sins, we think of our mistakes, and with that comes a great amount of shame, a great amount of regret. And we sort of feel isolated, like maybe we're here and we know that God loves us and we've heard that. But maybe what's kept us from going all in with the Lord is maybe deep down we think, there's no way He could love me. There's no way He could forgive me. Maybe we think there's no way our spouse could forgive us, or there's no way our kids could forgive us. Maybe we feel caught, maybe we feel cut off from those who love us the most. Maybe you feel like this leper because you're not the only one who knows about your mistakes. And like in your mind, you're thinking, well, the person sitting behind me, they know what I've done. You know, my neighbor, they've seen it. My spouse knows it. So you feel sort of caught in this bubble of your past sin and shame, feeling as if there's no hope except for Jesus. This man with leprosy comes to Jesus and he falls on his face begging Him because he's full of leprosy and there's nowhere else to turn. He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." And so look what Jesus does in verse 13. Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. So here's what Jesus does. And one of the things we have to understand is that by law, by the Old Testament law, if you or I were to touch someone with leprosy, it wasn't just a bad thing because we might get it, but simply by touching someone who was unclean, we would be considered unclean. And so there's this... we've got to stay away. And so Jesus encounters this leper and, and, and the leper's on his face before Jesus, begging him to be made clean. And what does Jesus do? He reaches out and touches him, risking himself becoming unclean. Why? Because he's the only one that can clean this man up. The man could not clean himself up. He couldn't go to the doctor and say, and the doctor say, hey, take two of these a day for a month and you'll be clean. There's nothing he can do for himself. But Jesus touches him and cleans him up just like that. Matt Chandler tells a story of one of his friends who had a infant, and that infant woke up screaming in the middle of the night. And as parents, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, in that moment, a million thoughts go through your head when your child wakes up screaming in the middle of the night. And so this dad runs to this little girl's room and he flips on the light. And that baby girl has somehow gotten her diaper off, okay? And she has, for lack of a better term, she has pooed in her diaper. And she has taken that diaper off and that poo is smeared all over the crib, all over the wall, all over herself. And she is covered. She is dirty as can be. And she does what most kids do when they see their parents. And she says, Daddy! This man goes and he picks her up, probably at arm's length a little bit. She wouldn't have it. She, as much as she could, put her arms around her daddy and held him close and just loved on him. So the daddy goes and he warms a bath, gets it just right. And he puts that baby girl in that water and begins to wash her, cleaning her of all that filth. He gets a towel that he had just taken out of the dryer, you know, the nice and warm kind. And he wraps her up and makes her a warm bottle just like she likes it. And he feeds her and he rocks her and sings to her until she falls asleep. He lays her down beside the mom, probably diaper a little bit better secured this time. And he goes to her room and he begins to clean the filth out of her bed, off the wall. And as he's walking out, it hits him that that is him. And our God, who is not dirty and who is not unclean, looks at us the same way. And he picks us up and he saves us. And it's not like, okay, I've done the hard stuff, now you go figure it out, go clean yourself up. But he washes us with the cleansing of the word over and over and over again, as he changes us and he makes us clean. See, that's what he does for us in our sin. He is appalled at sin, but not so much so that he won't pick us up in ours. And he cleanses us just like he did the leper. And the only reason we are, the only reason we can be clean, is because Jesus receives us. Listen to this spectacular passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, Jesus was the only one qualified to touch this man in his uncleanness and himself not become unclean. He was the only one. Like if you and I touched him, we would be considered sinful. We'd be unclean ourselves. What he was doing was just a shadow of what he would do on the cross. When he touched us in our uncleanness and he became sin for us. So this great exchange might happen. He gets our sin. We get his righteousness. The Corinthians passage says that we become his righteousness. So Jesus cleanses us. That the only way that is possible is by him receiving us. And he'll receive you today in the middle of it, in the middle of your sin. Number one, Jesus receives us. But number two, let's look at our response. We got to see our response in this story. So far, all we've seen is that the leper came to Jesus with a problem. He came to Jesus with a sin problem, with this dirtiness, something he couldn't take care of. And Jesus does all the work. Jesus is the one that reaches out to him. All this man does is come and fall on his face and saying, "I can't do this." And Jesus cleanses him. And now look at verse 14. "And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for proof to them." Now you might be thinking, what in the world is he talking about? You'd have to go back to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 to see this instruction that Jesus is giving him. In Leviticus chapter 13, God sort of shows the priest how to recognize leprosy. Now the priests, they don't know how to, they can't cleanse leprosy, they can't cure leprosy, they can't do that. But God has instructed a priest that if you see a person like this, here's how you examine them, and then you're able to say, yeah, it's leprosy, or no, it's not. If they have leprosy, send them out of the camp, because they're unclean and they're not fit to be in my presence. Send them out. Now, if by chance this person, in a matter of weeks or months or years, if by chance he's healed of his leprosy, then he's to come back to you. You're to examine him and you're to pronounce him clean, but he's got to bring this offering. He's got to bring this offering. It involved bloodshed of an animal. It involved this response that after he had been made clean, he had to respond by bringing a particular offering. Can I tell you that for us, Jesus demands a response? That yes, he receives us, but we absolutely have a response in this process. Salvation belongs to God. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 is going to tell us that it's by grace you've been saved through faith and not your own doing. It's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. So see, salvation belongs to the Lord, but there is a response that we have. You see, he calls, he saves, but our response is to repent and believe. See, this leper, he had a response that Jesus made him clean, and his response was to go show himself to the priest and offer the offerings that God had required of him. Our response when we're unclean and God reaches down and touches us to make us clean, our response is to repent, to turn from our sins, to turn from our old life, to turn from us calling the shots, and to follow Christ. To repent and to believe the gospel, that his death on the cross was enough to pay for my sin. That he has the ability, the only ability, to make me clean. See, our response is to repent and to believe the gospel. Listen, not to continue in sin. What has crept into the American church is this idea that all God requires of me is to pray this prayer, asking Jesus into my heart, and then I'll do whatever I want. I'll be nicer to people. I'll come to church. I'll do that. But what he calls sin, I'll only call sin as long as I agree with it. But and I'll sort of explain away that it's modern and times are different and we understand science better. And I'll come up with all these reasons of why my sin's not sin. Do you know that when we do that, We're not turning from sin. We're not repenting. We're not agreeing with God that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And according to Scripture, there is no salvation. There's none without us responding to Christ's offer by repentance and faith. Hear me. Hear the word of the Lord and search it yourself. There is no salvation without us responding to what Christ has done for us with repentance and belief. Jesus cleanses us. He does so. He does all the work by receiving us. Number two, we have a response. Number three, listen. Let's look at our report. So we have Jesus receiving. You love, don't you love these R stuff, like for all those who, what is that, alliteration? Is that what it's called? The response by Jesus. Or I'm sorry, the receiving of us by Jesus, our response, and then our report. Look at verse 14. I just might make a good Baptist preacher after all of these days. Verse 14. He charged him to tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad. And great crowds gathered to hear him to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. It's easy for us to sort of get confused about healing and why Jesus healed. Like, we've sort of watered down the gospel into this idea that Jesus wants to make us healthy, wealthy, and wise, or something that, whatever it is. And he absolutely does heal in Scripture. Like, I'm not trying to discount the fact that God heals, because he does. But search what's going on in this story. He heals someone and tells him not to share, assuming, because what verse 15 says, that great crowds are going to hear about it, that's all they're going to want. They're going to want to come be healed. And he did heal them. But then verse 16 says that when that happened, he began to withdraw and go to desolate places to pray. Why? Because his mission was not to heal physically. And the reason he did was to prove that he was God. Only God could do this. But listen, look below the surface. Was again to illustrate salvation in what he does to us in a healing sense spiritually. That's exactly what's going on here in the text. It's a picture of salvation. And listen, he tells the man not to share, but this man couldn't help but share. Right? He couldn't help but say, I used to have leprosy, back, I'm back. Right? With whoever would talk, whoever would see him. Maybe they asked him. Maybe they said, hey, weren't you the leper? Yeah. Now, when we think of healing, we assume that Jesus healed this man and he looked normal. Maybe he didn't. Maybe you could still see the scars of the leprosy. But he was different because of what Jesus has done. Jesus tells him not to share because at this point in his ministry, it's not about the healing. It's about telling what Jesus was ultimately going to do, and that was to die for us, making us clean. It's interesting. He was instructed not to tell, and he did. We're instructed to tell, and we don't. Matthew 28. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, go to all nations and make disciples. Like yours and like, if we have one responsibility, it's to advance the gospel to the nations. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses. How do you want to know that the Holy Spirit is in your life, in your heart? You'll be my witness. He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Because when he saves, we're commanded, and not just commanded, but there's this burning in our bones that we must share, we must tell what Christ has done. Jesus saved me when I was 7. Wasn't looking for him that night, but he sure found me. He saved me. I remember I had to give my life to the Lord. I remember I had to respond to him as he was drawing me. I just had to. I was 7, and so you don't. There's really not a whole lot of sin you can really get into, big time sin. You know, up to 7, hadn't robbed a bank, hadn't done any of that. My big walks of sin in life happened after salvation, as I got into my teenage years and college years, and because here's what I started to question: the world seems like they're having all the fun. Is this real? And so I went through a season in life as sinful and selfish as anyone here. And the shame that came with that, you know, isn't as shameful as anyone here. But I can just tell you, I can tell you times in my life where the Spirit of God would draw and chase after and say, hey, remember when I saved you? I'm gonna finish this in you. And I can take you to my living room not long after Evan was born. And the Spirit of God waking me up in the middle of the night and just wrecking me through passages like Isaiah 58 as he continued to clean me and make me walk away from some things. Whatever your story is, listen, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed that the God of the universe saw fit to reach down and save and cleanse you. Don't be ashamed that he's cleaning you now. That's evidence of him in our lives, when he continues to clean us up. You see, Jesus receives us. We have a response, and then we have a report to share what Christ has done in us. 2 things and then we're done. Christian, follower of Christ, disciple, listen. Keep coming to him to be cleansed. You need to get as far away from this notion that God saved you, now it's your job to clean yourself up. Just like the baby in the story had no hopes of cleaning herself up, you have no hope of cleaning yourself up. You just keep going back to Christ. You keep believing the gospel. Keep repenting. And Christian, let me ask you, who are the lepers of our day? The one that society shuns, who are they of our day? I mean, they're people like, maybe people like with AIDS, or maybe people with same-sex attraction, or maybe people who are confused about their own gender. Maybe it's a woman having an abortion or who have had an abortion. Maybe it's addicts. The list goes on and on. The lepers of our day, you know what they need? They need for us to go and tell of how God rescued us from those same things. Christian, keep going to the Lord for the gospel. Keep speaking and keep sharing it. And then listen, there's only one other group of people in this room. And I want to label you pre-Christians, because I believe that in this moment that Christ wants to save you. And maybe you're the leper in the story, and you're unclean because you've never come to the Lord. You've never responded by belief, through repentance. You've never done that. But the Spirit of God is thick in your soul today, drawing, wooing, leading you to a response. In a second, we're going to have a song of invitation, a song of response. I'll be right here on this front row. You come sit with me if you feel like God's leading you to be saved. There'll be men and women here to pray with you over everything we've talked about. Maybe you want to talk to one of them about being saved today, about responding to Christ today. You come to him. It'll be the greatest day of your life. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we pray that even in this moment, that you begin to stir. God, that you lead the pre-Christians here, the lost, those who've never given their life to you, that you lead them to respond to you by faith through repentance. And God, for the men and women who are standing here ready to pray, God, may you give Christians the boldness to say, I feel dirty because I'm walking in this, and to repent and keep believing the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.